So good morning, everyone, those that are here in this audience, as well as those who may be listening on the internet. It's been on my heart today to talk about our perfect God, and we've titled our message today, God is Perfect. The essence of what was on my heart today about our perfect God is this. God is being marginalized. We've said that before. It's no secret. Those of us that are walking a walk of faith in the Lord know that the Lord is being pushed out, out, out. And so this is what is mind-boggling. If you have perfection as a goal, as a God to serve, a perfect God who will do nothing but give perfect justice, perfect judgment, perfect plan of salvation, perfection, perfection, perfection. And even using the word perfection, I said, Lord, I know you know that when we say perfection, you're beyond perfection. It's just a word that is used that we try to identify something that is greater than something that is as opposed to something that is less. So there's no logic to pushing perfection out of your life. Why would anyone logically want to do that? And yet we see it being done. We see it being done in our courts. We see it being done in our governments. We're pushing God out. You're pushing out what is best for you to follow. And you might come up to me and suggest something for me to do a certain way that is better. And if I shun that, if I turn that betterness away from me, I'm going to be less better. It's just something that you know what you're talking about, something that is that I'm wanting to do and learn. But if you're sharing with me something that is better. And I know as teachers, Mary, we see that in a classroom, and you're wanting them to get better, but you have to learn this in order to get better. And if you deny that, if you don't pursue that, if you don't practice that teaching, then you're going to have less better. So why would anyone want to deny the perfection that God has? And or deny the very perfect God that He is? It's not logical. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. Why that is? Why would Satan want to leave heaven and wanting and desirous to be greater than God? Well, I mean, he's already there in heaven. He has a free will. All the angels have free wills. Why would you want to leave? Why would you want to become greater than the very perfection of God Himself? And evidently there's a free will there to exercise submission or to try to overthrow that. And Satan exercises free will. He said, I want to become greater than God. I want to exalt myself up in the stars of God. Isaiah talks about that. And so God said, not so. And he's been cast to the earth, causing a lot of havoc during the days that he has been giving this reign, but it's only for a season. It will stop. But so turn with me, if you would. I want to talk about this perfect God that we serve, and then I want to talk about what that means for us. But in Deuteronomy 32, if you would turn with me there for the first four verses, Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. This is the song of Moses. These are the words that God has given him to speak to Israel. Give ears, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew. Distill means to flow down. as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, verse 4, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. In verse 4, once again, it says that God is the rock and his work is perfect. All of his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Period. There's no argument. There's no wondering whether God is perfect or just. He is. Those of us that have come to know him know that. We believe that. We receive that. We look forward to seeing him one day. But we live in a world that is changing. They just don't believe that. The knowledge of God is within them. Romans 1 tells us that. But they choose not to follow after this perfection and this perfect judgment and justice of God. And their lives are what is a result of it. Less than perfect. Less than just. And that's why we see all the trouble that we see in the world today. All the murder, all the killing, all the death, all the drugs, all the abortion that is going on, the death of the babies, and all the things that we see going on, the lifestyle changes that we have seen accelerate recently in the last few years, the acceleration in many different lifestyles in people. It is all without the perfect judgment of God, the perfect ways of God, following after him, breathing after God, panting after God. They have all gone their own way. For many years of my life, I went my own way. Have you? I'm sure all those who may be listening today, you have gone your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have wandered. We have tried to figure out ourselves, and we found ourselves what? Out there, away from the fold, away from the shepherd, surrounded by what? Wolves. Surrounded by the world, surrounded by fears, surrounded by apprehensions, surrounded by all kinds of things that promote and lead to death. Fears without, fears within. Troubles without, troubles within. Without this great perfection of desiring to do it God's way. How many of you are learning finally to do it God's way rather than your way? Someone recently had given testimony to Linda was sharing with us. Someone had given testimony recently that they, it wasn't her, it was one of Shirley's precious siblings, said and confessed that they didn't want to pursue what they were going to do. They wanted to do it God's way. And it just blessed my heart when Shirley told me that one of her sisters said that. They knew not to do something. They knew to do it a different way. And so there's changes taking place. Doesn't happen overnight, but changes take place. You either do it God's way because his way is perfect and God is perfect and just, or you can, today, we can do it our own way. But it will not get us anywhere. Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 4. And also, I want to share with you something that Moses said. Moses is 120 years old now, and he's given a farewell address in Deuteronomy 30, starting with verse 11. He's given a farewell address, and this is part of it also, as well as Deuteronomy 32. He's 120 years old now, and this is so powerful. Advice to the people, advice to trust God, a perfect and just God. And he says, so, how can we? In other words, he's saying, how can you grab a hold of what God has for you? I can't see him. He's in heaven, I'm on earth. I see you see me, but I don't see God.
And so we have some great advice here about that. How can you grab a hold of? How can you apprehend it? How can you comprehend it? How can you eat it up and drink it in, absorb it, live it? And so here he is, and he has some great advice for Israel. He's getting ready to die. He's not going to go into the promised land. Joshua is. And then in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30, "For this commandment which I command you today is what? Number one, it's not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." It reminds me of a testimony that we just heard a little bit ago about someone who had a mouse in their car. It can be very difficult. It can be very fearful. Or it can be not too difficult. If we want to do it God's way and God's plan and God's perfection, God has a way. And quite often it's afterwards we see, yeah, it wasn't so difficult. But it's in the middle of it that it seems very difficult. And it says, it's so powerful, "The commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, Mark. Nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?'" I'm hearing simplicity here. I'm hearing accessible here. I'm hearing that God wants to give us if we will but ask. I have trouble. I have turbidity in my heart. I have turmoil. I can't sleep. I toss. I turn because of name the circumstances. It's just infinite. And the Lord says, this is not so difficult if you just look to me. But the word, verse 14, is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? That you may observe it. What's your Bible say?
Obey it.
I like that.
That you may do it.
Very powerful, very simple. And there are times that I know that it is simple myself, and yet there are times when you feel that rising. You feel the rising within. The Lord says, "Mark, it's not so difficult. I know you feel the rising, but this is not so difficult." It is because you're looking at the circumstances. You're looking at the mouse in the car. You're looking at the circumstances. You're not looking to me. The things that I shared with you about preparing for carpenters to come in here, or electricians, and to prepare for all those things. It can be a nightmare if they don't show up based upon your preparation for what somebody else is obligated to do and they don't do it. You can really have quite a time because they didn't do what they're supposed to do. See, verse 15, "I have set before you today life and prosperity." I have set before you what? Death and adversity. What's your Bible say?
Prosperity, death, and destruction.
Wow. Life and prosperity, death and adversity, death and destruction. "And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may what? Live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it." God is not out to swat somebody like a man out after a fly on a wall, but he's out to what? Bless you that in the land that you are entering you may possess it. But in verse 17, if your heart turns away from the perfect plan of God and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare you today, verse 18, that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call, verse 19, heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you, wow, here's the deal, life and death, the blessing and the curse. So he gives us what is suggested that we do. Choose life in order that you may live, and that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Wow. Why is America in need of a spiritual revival? Is because America is forsaking this perfect guidance and will and provision of God for another God. Name it. Whatever that God is. We are in need of a spiritual revival in our, not only United States, but in our world today. There is something desperately and very wrong. We have a nation that is turning their back, for the most part, on God, although there are millions who love the Lord, millions that are coming to Him, but we're dealing with a lot of people in this world, 6-7 billion people in the world today. Many of them have religions that has nothing to do with Christianity. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, modern age, new age, Taoist philosophies, anything and everything you want to create and believe. I believe there's someone, there's thousands of religions in the world today, many we don't even hear of. Unitarian Universalists. We'll figure it out when we get there. Yes, they will. They're going to find out when they get there. We don't know where we're going. We're going to figure it out when we get there. And the day that heart beats, their last breath stops, they will find out where that type of philosophy will get them. Just a few words here from someone who wrote about America in need of spiritual revival. America, many people and multitudes of people, millions of people, are not taking this advice that we just read from a perfect God. So they're going to serve something that is imperfect. And we're going to reap the results of imperfection. This person's name is Jeff Lukens. He's a special article to Tampa Tribune, but he's a Christian. And he says that we live in an age of unbelief. We live with America in decline. Do you feel that? Do you see the declension? I do. I see it because in the people's lives that I see around me, I see it. I see it in my neighborhood. I see it in the things that I hear and see young people doing and saying. I see it in the music. I see it in the culture. I see it in the movies. I see it on the news. Recently, we've witnessed the murder of 20 children at a school, innocent little 6- and 7-year-olds. Most of them were 6, a few were 7, and some adults. Something is drastically wrong. There's a darkness that is there that people are giving place to rather than trust the perfection of God and follow after Him through Jesus Christ. They're following after their own ways. We are no longer the America of our founders or even the America that existed 20 years ago. Collectively, we are more secular with ever increasing faith in government and decreasing faith in God. More faith in government, less faith in God. How many of you understand what an entitlement society is? What does that mean to you? We are becoming more of an entitlement society. What does that mean to you?
Getting stuff from the free stuff.
Give me anything and everything I can get. Because This is the way it is. You're the mother load, and I'm a part of it, and so give me anything and everything I can get out of this without having to, involve any blood, sweat, and tears for what I get. Entitlement. We're becoming more of a socialist society. We're becoming more dependent upon government than we are God. Collectively, we are more secular, okay, than ever. Increasing faith in government, decreasing faith in God. The consequences of which are already showing. The culture must change. We need a spiritual revival. No education, no problem. The government will take care of you. Having a baby out of wedlock, no problem there either. 40% of babies are born that way. I didn't know that. 40% of babies are born out of wedlock. Wow. It doesn't mean like two people are living together and they say they're committed to each other, but they're not married. They're born out of wedlock, but they're living together, that type of thing. 40% of babies are born that way. Gay marriage, hey, who cares what the Bible says? Victimhood trumps success. Nothing is right or wrong, because that might suggest a standard by which right and wrong would be defined. Nothing is right, nothing is wrong. You see, that's less than perfection, isn't it?
Right.
That God has for us. Freedom should be as easy, it should be an easy sell. So why are conservatives and the people of faith who proclaim freedom the ones who are insulted and mocked? We are seen as the deniers of freedom. What so many are missing is morality, a self-governing limit to behavior. As the left sees it, they do not have to accept responsibility. Freedom means no obstacles on the road to what our grandparents called depravity. I mean, I grew up, we were deprived of things, but we made it. We had love. We didn't have a lot of things other kids had, but we didn't feel that somebody had to give us what they had. Boots in the winter, they weren't insulated. Two pair of socks, three pair of socks, newspaper, whatever. Big old nice warm woolly Eskimo gloves. No, we had those little cotton things that we slipped inside leather gloves at times. Hands freezing. But we were not to compare ourselves with those who had things that were not exactly the things that we had. We didn't die. We made it. We fell in the creeks. We froze. We got home. It's just, we dried it all out. But depravity, we were deprived of things, but we didn't see it that way. We had love in our family. And we had God sitting at our table. The perfect God in heaven above. What's needed is profound national revival. May God in His grace and mercy allow the American people to experience a great awakening. It's our only hope. And one last thing on this article. It says, both government programs and charities can feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Government welfare, nevertheless, cannot reach people's hearts. And the government should, there should be some responsibility to help those who need help. Many of our people who serve in armed forces have experienced loss of limbs. They've experienced many things due to that military service. And I believe there's things should be in place to help these folks and help people in need and handicapped. But government programs cannot reach the heart that God is after. It can warm the body, but not the soul. It can feed the body, but not the soul. And so, anyhow, abiding faith is unfashionable and is considered an oddity. if you are going to exercise your faith with authenticity and courage, you will receive mockery, ridicule, and rejection. For patriots, it is the price that must be paid to save the nation. Anyhow, I thought this was insightful because we just read in Deuteronomy how we need to trust God. We have a nation that is becoming more dependent upon government, but yet it's not addressing the heart. God says you address the heart, get the heart straightened out in relationship with Him, and everything else is going to take care of itself. And the church will reach out to help those in need. The church will feed. The church will do things and minister and reach out like, as they have in ages in the past. So as missions, as ministry that we ministries that we have to reach out to those in need. And so here we have a God that does not want us to keep beating our head on the wall. He wants us to stop doing that. Stop the bleeding. How many of you desire the bleeding to stop in your own life? Stop doing it your way. Do it His way. We see the world trying to do it their way all around us, and we give these examples. But what about you in your own vertical relationship with Jesus Christ every day? Do you want the bleeding to stop? I do. I don't want it to continue. I don't want to continue to hemorrhage. You hemorrhage long enough, what's going to happen? You don't put a compress on it, what's going to happen? You don't allow God to put a compress on that and stop that bleeding, what's going to happen? You're going to bleed out. You're going to die. And in the church, do you believe that there's a need for the hemorrhaging to stop? The bleeding to stop? In the church, there's a lot of hurting people. But I believe the Lord wants the church to have that reviving trust and faith in Him regardless. Someone said in here this morning before I turned our recording on for those across the internet to hear was the person said that I'm not recognizing myself. That's pretty powerful. And I love it because that was said in a good way. I'm seeing a great change here in my life, and I know how I was, and so this is awesome. This I don't recognize this person, but I like this person. This is fresh. This is new. This is good. This is life imparting. I'm trusting the perfection of God rather than me, rather than the world, rather than my own brain. I want to trust God more. I want to be successful. I want to do it His way. That's a good way to be. And the next time you face a situation, someone gave a testimony here today. They had a mouse in their car. They end up getting the mouse out. After all, actually the mouse lived. The mouse is out of the car. The person feels good about it. But what about the next time you get a mouse in your car? There will be another time. There will be another mouse. There will be another person. There will be another uncle. There will be another aunt. There will be other finances. There will be issues at work. There will be situations. There always will be someone taking your place, your parking, your favorite parking place. And in the church, somebody's going to sit where you normally sit. Things are going to happen. You're going to have flat tires. You're going to have trouble. It's going to be too hot, or the air conditioner's not going to work, or you're not going to be happy with who's elected or who's not elected, or it's not going to stop. I want to get away from you. I don't like you as my boss. I don't like this work. I take this job and shove it. Well, then shove it and go someplace else. But you're still going to have to live with people. Either you work by yourself at home or whatever, you still got you to deal with. You're never going to have peace waiting for the world to have peace. It's not going to happen. Jesus said what? I do what I see my Father do. A perfect Father is going to give what? Perfect instruction. Imagine yourself. You have a plan. You're on your way to do your plan and fulfill your plan. But God says, look, I've got a better thing going on here. If you will just stop and pull over for a moment, you're going to get further instruction. If you'll just pull over. No, I ain't going to do that. Is that you, God? Or is that me? Or is that the devil? Well, as you become more familiar with asking God to show you, He's going to speak to you that way. And you will pull over. What's it going to hurt to pull over if you hear that? Pull over, I want to talk to you. Either literally pull over in a car or literally just stop doing what you're doing. put the dishes down, dry your hands or whatever, and just go sit down and go before the Lord. Do you believe that if you really mean to hear God's voice and you hear God say that, that He's going to share something with you that is a better way of doing something than what you plan on doing it? Always a better way. In 2 Samuel 22, 31. The thread of God's perfection is throughout Scripture. We know that. It's good to talk about it. It's good to be encouraged to continue to know that. It's good to be encouraged to go out and be challenged to do that, to trust God, and to know that He is perfect. 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, His way is blameless. The King James Version says, perfect. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. 2 Samuel 22:31 is also Psalm 18. It's the same. 2 Samuel 22, chapter 22, is the same thing as Psalm 18. When we say, as in your handout today, that God is perfect, His work is perfect. The Hebrew word for perfect here means without defect, blameless, without blemish, upright, without spot, whole, complete, sound, and undefiled. You know, to say these things about God seems to me in no way meaning to belittle God, because there's no description for Him. He's beyond perfection. He defies you to try to define Him. But these are words that we grope with regarding God. And who has another version other than the New American Standard as to 2 Samuel 22:31? Would you please read that? Mary, is yours?
22:31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is true. He shields all who hide behind Him.
He shields all who hide behind Him. Well, I don't hide behind God. I'm in that position behind God because I want to follow Him. I'm not hiding from anyone, but I'm under His protection. And as for God, His way is blameless. His way is perfect. How many of you have, knowing that, have chosen otherwise, anyhow, maybe this past week, have chosen to do something maybe your way? And you just don't care for that. I have done that. Sometimes I find it difficult listening to someone else to maybe suggest there's a better way. Surely my wife suggests some things to me sometimes, and everything within me wants to kind of do it another way, but I want to listen to the Lord and really consider that that may be something the Lord is saying. And quite often when I have, I've benefited from humbling myself and to seek God for a better way, and it's worked out that way. And it works vice versa at times. And it's good. We need to stay humble. We need to listen, and God does use people. He uses people to speak His word to us. He could use television. He can use a billboard. He can use anything. He can use radio. He can use a CD. But we need to be tuned in order to receive that signal. Psalm 19, very powerful. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. If you would turn there with me or just listen. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. Here we go again. We're just talking and bragging about our great God. We're bragging about Him. We're boasting on God. We're exalting God. You know, not us. I'm exalting God for the work that He's doing in this place. I praise God for the work that He's doing to you folks that may be listening to this message today. I thank God for the work that He's doing in your life, but He's going to use this world and circumstances in it to hone your skills to trust Him more. In Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
Is perfect. Restoring the soul. God wants to restore. He doesn't want to tear down. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure. What is what?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. America, 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 and all the people therein will be greatly rewarded if they would trust God who knows better than what we know. All the politicians, our Supreme Court, our president, all his staff, anybody and everybody that has anything to do with our government would have great rewards if we would just trust God to do it His way rather than our way. Right now, it's not good. Not good to be pushing God out. Very serious problem. Those of us in our country that love the Lord don't like that. We just need to stand up and be counted where we are in our world, in our homes, where we go, where we come from, our education, wherever we go, whatever we do, there's going to be people. We need to stand up and be counted. My wife recently was at either Lowe's or Home Depot. And I think you've heard this expression before. Someone might say, can I help you, brother? Can I help you, sister? And Shirley replied to that person who called her sister in such a way that she engaged in a conversation. I assume that if you're a Christian, you're calling me a sister. Is that kind of how it went, Shirley?
I asked, "Are you?" I said, "Can I assume that you're a friend of Jesus?"
Can I ask you if you're a friend of Jesus by calling me a sister? And so there are ways, not robotically or mechanically, to respond to somebody, but in the awareness of the Lord. And not trying to be cute or anything. Someone calls you brother or sister and you're in the real world out there. You're not in church. And so you can respond, if you look to the Lord, perhaps in a way that may engage them in a conversation that may minister to them. And so many things happen that way in conversations when you interact with people. I believe, I with all my heart, that as we look to the Lord, that is going to be the world that we need to reach where we are. I'm not where you are, you're not where I am, but if we just look to the Lord, that's where it is. That's where it goes. That's where it happens. One-on-one between you and the Lord and where you are in the world. Engaging them to think. Engaging them to consider the living God. It says in verse 12, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Psalm 19, verse 12. Also, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless. And I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock. In my Redeemer. And that rock, going back to verse 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. God is that rock, that perfect rock. God is that perfection that we need to trust and depend upon all the more so. That perfection of God came down and became flesh and dwelt among us through Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us through Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, verse 18 and 19, here comes the perfection of God in the flesh to do something for us. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. How many of you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, that all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, those animals that were sacrificed could not have any spot or any wrinkle or any blemish whatsoever. And so here we have the perfection of God. God, the perfect God that He is, brings us the perfect salvation. The perfect Lamb, without blemish, without spot. There was no blemish in Him whatsoever. There was no sin. There was no stain. It's not possible for me to be stainless unless someone has given His life for me who was stainless, who was perfect, who was spotless. And so here comes the perfect God in His plan through the ages, sending Himself, God embodied in the flesh through Jesus Christ, as a lamb, unblemished, spotless, perfect. There is no blood. There is no blood given for me for my salvation except the blood of Jesus. And that was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God that was given for me. It had to be that way. And here He comes to fulfill the law, not the blood of bulls and goats, but His own blood shed for me in perfection that I may have eternal life and be perfected with Him, but only through Jesus Christ. Not anybody else, not any other philosophy, not anybody else's religion, only. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed for us. Perfect, perfect sacrifice. Perfect God, perfect sacrifice, and perfect salvation for us through Jesus Christ. Wow. And in Hebrews, once again, telling us about the perfection in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3. And He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory, God's glory, and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. The reason Jesus has authority to save us through His sacrificial blood that was shed for us is because He upholds all things by the word of His power. He can make it happen. Jesus and Jesus alone can make this happen when we die to be with Him eternally. That is beyond our mind and our comprehension, I understand, but it's real. Jesus and Jesus alone can make that happen because of the perfect sacrificial life that He gave for us. The perfect blood that was shed. And now we can have eternal, and He can make that happen. I am very, very much hopeful that that is going to happen in my life. I live in hope that way. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. So I welcome that hope today in my life. I'm living today in hope. I'm living today because Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, was given for me that I may have eternal life. So today we shared some scriptures, many more scriptures to deal with this, to address this. But we shared some scriptures today dealing with the perfection of God. God in the flesh coming to the earth in perfection in Jesus Christ, shedding His blood for us that we may have eternal life. The world doesn't seem to get it. They're trying to figure out some other way to have eternal life. It is not going to happen except through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, that perfect Father, but through me. You're going to be challenged in your faith as the days go by. You're going to be challenged to trust something else, to trust yourself, to not believe God. You're going to be challenged to hear the voice of God. You're going to be challenged not to trust yourself. And your knees may shake and your hands may, and you may get a little clammy sometimes, a little sweaty, because sometimes it may get a little fearful to trust God. But if you trust Him, your faith will grow. You will change. You'll be transformed. There'll be a person that you look at in the mirror and say, gee, boy, there's something going down here. There's changes taking place. And through Jesus Christ and through this perfect sacrifice that He gave to us, we can have eternal life. I serve a perfect God. I have no doubt about that. I know one day I will be with Him, all because of His plan, His arrangements for me through Jesus Christ. Anybody else putting any trust in anything else in any other God is less than perfect, and you will go to less than perfect places. The perfection that God has planned is heaven, to be with Him forever through Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any should perish. Anyone listening to this message today on the internet, God is not willing for souls to perish, but for all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Will they? No, not everybody. Will multitudes? Yes, multitudes will, but it is a narrow way. And the only way is through faith in Jesus Christ. Accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life. If you haven't done so, get on the train, the glory train, and get off the long black train that leads to the despair and misery, and is headed straight to the depths of hell. Get on the glory train and get off the black train. And so, Lord, help us today. Help us all to trust You more, to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Help us to be what we cannot be. Help us to be what we can be through Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. We need You desperately. Father, I ask this for all who may be listening, that decision will be made soon. We do not know how much time we have in this earth. May God bless you. May God help you as a Christian to please Him, to walk after Him, and for those who don't know Him to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.